Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Well, we're getting a taste of winter. Yeah, I do traffic reports. Accident Central. It's that texting. I'm serious. This is one of those things where, you know, reality hits the fan. And when you're looking at people right next door and you see, you know, you're in a group of maybe 6 or 8 cars and the majority of them have somebody looking down or looking the other way at something that's, you know, a shiny light. Okay, so back to the other world. Ed Edwards, I just had him on doing the energy work. Alien Brain, check it out on Ancient Aliens, because this is where he demonstrates that PK energy he does. We don't always call it that, but that's really an easy way to put it. He calls it biointrinsic energy something. Okay, so B-I-R-E. And that biointrinsic resonant energy, and it's a mouthful, but it's PK. So when he registers on this little machine that he's using, you see an arrow, and you watch him move the arrow. First, he has these, he's holding like a jump rope, you know, in his hand, one end, the other end, left hand, right hand. And they show him, he's demonstrating to Nick Pope how he moves this needle. And he, when he switches the polarity, it goes left, and then it goes back right, and then it sits in the middle. And then he puts the rope thing down, puts those little handles down, and does it with no handles. His hands are in the air, and he moves it just regular, straight out. PK energy. Andy and I, my husband and I, did a session with him Monday night. And my husband comes over after I'm like halfway in the session. He takes the computer away from me. I'm like, wait, no, you're breaking the link, because I was heating up the computer. It's the hard drive. He said, no, it's squealing. We're not doing this. So anyway, just a plug for working with your own PK energy, because when it's real and you can feel it, there's this incredible link that ups the ante and it improves your own energy, and you do all sorts of things like self-heal and things like that. Okay, so just putting a plug in for Ed Edwards, and check out Alien Brain on Ancient Aliens. There's a, just Google. There's some free ways to see it if you don't have TV like me, and go from there. In the meantime, though, I also checked out, in the mail, I got my new book from Artie Sixkiller Clark, Space Age Indians, and I got Schoolyard Encounters, Preston Dennett, and I was comparing these stories with the fog and the UFO contactees. There's so many links on in the thread here that these things are happening, and nobody's talking. They're not talking to each other. So I may have to do something. Anyway, but somebody who is talking and deserves more credit and more accolades and more just, you know, I guess in some way, shape, or form, kudos for having done this and stuck with it since she had 3 near-death experiences in 1997, is PMH Atwater. And I swear, she's been plugging away, collecting all of this data, and still, you know, people have not heard and realized how much she has done over the past few decades. So PMH, I just want to say thank you. You have been working your tail off. You were supposed to be done after 3 books. That was your agreement, and yet you're still going. Congratulations.
Well, you know, some of us just keep doing it.
Well, I saw you wrote to Kenneth Ring, and I tried to get him on the show. He said, I'm retired. And that part of it, though, is that, you know, you, with your near-death experiences at the beginning, before anybody was writing about it, before there was a term for it, you were right there going, what the heck just happened?
Well, Ken, you know, was the one who discovered me.
Yeah.
I was out doing my own research. I did not know anybody else was doing research. I did not know anything about Raymond Moody or his book. None of that was known to me. I was just out doing what I was told to do by this incredible voice in my third near-death experience. So I was just, you know, Ken tracked me down by phone. He came over to stay with my husband and myself for the weekend. And we talked and talked and talked. He finally said to me, you're ahead of everybody else. So you've got to come up to Storrs, Connecticut and meet your compadres. I didn't know I had any. that was when he was in Storrs, mm-hmm. Teaching at the University of Connecticut. So I had to come up there and go through the files of the International Association of Near-Death Studies, find out what they were doing, find out about Raymond Moody, find out about the whole crew, and everyone else was finding out about me because I was ahead of everybody.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is that you, the depth, since you had three of your experiences in one of my...
I had three in 3 months, dear. I call it the heavenly sledgehammer effect.
Yeah. One way to get your attention. And that's what's so phenomenal, though. The whole spectrum. My favorite part was when you got out and you were thinking, and then you realized every time you had a thought, there was a bubble that went with it.
Well, that was certainly during my experience. My experiences. The first one that happened, but it confused me. The second time it happened, I caught on, mm-hmm. and I realized, oh, these bubbles are me.
Yeah.
This is me. Those are thought forms. Mm-hmm. And I drew a whole bunch of them in the book, A Manual for Developing Humans. That was the third book I was told to write.
Yeah.
And it's filled with thought form drawings.
Okay, so this, let's get back to this too. With those near-death experiences, you were told you would do three books. Okay, now let's go back, because the Forever Angels book, this is near-death experiences in childhood and their life.
That's number 18.
Yeah. Okay. What happened? Who's counting, right?
Okay. Please, everybody know that at the time, I was studying to become a bank manager. I was taking classes at the American Banking Institute. A man whom I barely knew came into my home, raped me. I became pregnant, and all of my deaths came from complications from the miscarriage. Mm-hmm. Death number one was January 2. Death number, 2, 4, that's 1977, January, Boise, Idaho. I'm a Westerner. Yeah, you know, I come from Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one was March 29. Later that fall, I had three major relapses, one of which, I was working with a blood pressure reading of 60 over 60, which means I really wasn't working. I was collapsing.
Yeah.
In that year, I had to relearn how to crawl, how to stand, how to walk, how to climb stairs, how to run, how to tell the difference between left and right, see properly, hear properly, and rebuild all my belief systems. So it was a desperate year for me.
Wow, yeah.
It was a troubled year for me, but at the same time, it was puzzling and it was wonderful because of what I had experienced. And I didn't know what to do with it all, except that in my third near-death experience, a voice, and I'll call it the voice like none other,
mm-hmm.
because this wasn't an archangel, this wasn't an angel guardian, none of that stuff. This was a voice so big and so powerful that it was beyond anything that I could connect with. And this voice was very specific. This voice said, and I quote, test revelation. You are to do the research. one book for each death. Then it showed me what that meant. It did not name book one. I have no idea what book one was. I'm thinking it might have been Coming Back to Life, my first book, mm-hmm. which is still available over Amazon.
Yeah.
Then the second one was Future Memory. And the third one was A Manual for Developing Humans. But you see, I was told to do the research. So I went out and did just that once I had a body that was capable of functioning and a brain that could think. I went out and did my own work.
Okay, hold
now,
on. PMH,
look.
Just a minute. Wait a minute. We got to take a break. Okay, we got to take a break. They have to pay bills, all right? So we're going to come back. And we're going to pick up where you left off. We're also going to get into the book, The Forever Angels. This is near-death experiences in childhood and their lifelong impact. What happens with kids up to the age of 5 when they have a near-death experience? It's Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, PMH Atwater. The Forever Angels is the latest book, Near-Death Experiences in Childhood and Their Lifelong Impact. And what we were talking about was the third book was The Manual for Developing Humans. And the thing I have to get into, too, because you talked about the near-death experiences, and the thing that is most amazing, extraordinary for many who've had near-death experiences is the after effects, like increased psychic ability and other kinds of, you know, electronic issues that you have little quirks around you. You have some of those, too, right?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them.
The telepathic thing, is it still with you?
If we're talking about after effects, let's talk about after effects.
Okay.
Bear in mind, I'm a cop's kid. I was raised in a police station. Investigative techniques are my protocol.
Yeah.
So I'm a field worker. I don't deal with computerized questions. I'm a field worker. I'm working with the people. What I discovered was a pattern of after effects that are both physiological and psychological, both.
Okay.
And it is the pattern of after effects that validate the experience, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're looking at the physiological after effects, there are changes in brain function. There are changes in brain structure. There are changes in the nervous system, the digestive system, and skin sensitivity. Many come back with electrical sensitivity. Yes, I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of things on the physiological side, these are the ones you hear about the most. Losing the fear of death, becoming more psychic and intuitive, becoming more loving and generous. Many of these people become healers, teachers, ministers, use their new abilities in new ways. Children, it's different. And we can talk about that a little bit later.
Okay, well, and that's part of it, because I think that's what's so important about your book is just when kids, they're completely different. They don't have a lot of this heaven and hell kind of stuff that the adults get stuck with.
Right. The first time I delved into children, bear in mind my research base is nearly 5,000 adults and children.
Mm-hmm.
When I first delved into children, that was the 80s and 90s. And that book is The New Children and Near-Death Experiences. And I kept picking up anomalies that really bothered me. So I tried to get other people to do this kind of work. I couldn't find a single person. Can you believe that? So finally, 3 years ago, I decided, okay, if nobody else will double check my work, I will.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first group, that's 277 people. They were all certainly all child experiencers. Then I was going after between birth and 15 years. Hardly any of the teens and tweens participated. Most of my cases were under the age of 7.
Yeah.
I had 2 large groups between birth and 15 months and between 3 to 5 years. So therefore, I could take that first study and use it with this new study. Now, with this new study, I'm going after people in their who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I'm asking them, they had to validate having had a near-death experience between birth and 5 years specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ask them the question, having had a near-death experience at such a young age, did that have any effect across your life? And if it did, what? And so in essence, I was asking for essays. I cross-checked them whenever I could, called, you know, emailed, all this kind of stuff to make sure I was getting valid data. Wendy?
Yes?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what happened. I mean, the
theories
I got, the facts that I got,
okay,
was able to validate is going to blow your mind.
Okay, so PMH, what you're talking about, and I can hear in your voice how excited you are, that in some ways this has to have been astonishing for you. Okay, so we've got...
It was.
Okay, so that's part of it. Is that what all is in the book?
The book is about both research projects.
Okay.
And the summation of that, in that looking at the results of both of these projects, what that means for the human being.
Okay. Okay. That's where the excitement is, because I can hear it in your voice. Now, I also want to address when you you had the energy to write the 3 books, and when you completed that, the one that you consider the last one that you were obligated to, which is the Manual for Developing Humans, you said then all your energy went away, and it took you 2 weeks to recover. So we're going to come back with that, too, because I want to talk about what that meant. When you have this assignment and you agree to do it, and then you had to re-find that enthusiasm, that spark, and what that's about. And you didn't answer that question about the telepathy. Okay. I want to know.
Well, that's normal.
Okay. Well, oh, yes.
That's normal.
Okay.
So what am I going to say?
Well, see, that's what I need you to say. Okay. That part of it is like, it's normal. No, for people who haven't experienced that, we don't know what that normal
Look,
is.
Look, the paranormal is normal for children.
Yeah. I get it.
It's only with adults that we think that's special.
And that's not fair.
Well, it's the truth.
Well, the adults say I don't experience it, so it isn't real. And the kids are saying it is real because I'm experiencing it. So we have a big parting of the ways of one person saying it isn't and the other person saying it is. I had imaginary friends. I still have imaginary friends that are real because I can see them and feel them. And that's part of what that energy thing is about. And it does the nightlight thing. And so I've got it 24/7 to remind me that we are more than our physical body and things are here that we can't see. And that doesn't mean that they don't exist. Does that make sense to you?
Well, yes, but with child experiencers, it's much stronger and much deeper. We're dealing with kids who are coming back smarter than before. We're dealing with kids that are showing signs of synesthesia. They're abstracting. I mean, we're dealing with something more than this. This coffee table book stuff called psychic and intuitive and ghosts and all this other kind of thing.
Yes.
We're dealing with something that is changing the human race.
Excellent. Okay, that's what I want to get into. And we're going to do it in the next break because we have to wait. But I also got, like, an example. National Geographic, whom I really love. I like the things that they're doing in the Discovery Channel. But they put out this little thing called Science of the Supernatural, Dare to Discover the Truth. And that is, once again, just a light, kind of tire-kicking thing. You don't get any content, get the same stuff they've been putting out for the last, 40, 50 years. And yet there's people like PMH Atwater who are out here doing the work, boots on the ground, saying, What's here? Here's the data, 40 years worth of data, and we still are at the beginning with this stuff. And when PMH says telepathy is normal, there's a new normal. And somehow we're missing the boat. But when you're standing in the line ready to check out and you're thinking all those obnoxious things about the person in front of you and the person is telepathic, welcome to normal. All right, it's Wendy's Coffee House. I'll put the links on the website. There's some there for Ed Edwards, too, that PK thing, because that's also normal for some people. It just isn't talked about because people don't want other people to think that they're weird. Get over it. We're all weird. Live it. Wendy's Coffee House with PMH Atwater coming up next. KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. So if you are telepathic, welcome to normal. The thing is, people who are don't always tell other people, so they have that little edge. Then they surprise you, or not. They never admit it. They just surprise you and say, well, sure. And they don't give you a clue that they really know more than they're saying. So if we just act on that premise and tune up our own ability and start paying attention more with our sense instead of our that logical brain thing, we'll expand like these kids. And you had the interviews in the book, and this is the book that we're talking about, 18, The Forever Angels, Near-Death Experiences in Childhood and Their Lifelong Impact, talking about how their DNA is changing. And I was, during the break, we were talking about the indigo kids. And I'm tired of hearing that because I think it's misdirected and mislabeled. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I wrote a whole book about it called Children of the Fifth World. What is happening now is our children are being born and are coming into the earth plane differently. The human race is changing. So you've got labels like indigo, crystal, starseed, all these different labels that we call children. Hey, take all those labels, kick them out the door. It's nonsense. Then take the characteristics each of those labels supposedly described, bunch them together, and you have the pattern of the new kids. And these are the ones, this is the fifth dimension that's coming in.
What do they have? What do they have? Their attributes.
How can I describe it? It's like it's a bump up in the human race. It's what's happening with near-death kids. They get that bump up in the human race. You can easily look at the new kids and look at near-death kids, and there's a lot of similarities. The similarities, heightened senses, vivid imagination, intellectual curiosity and drive. They're psychic, they're intuitive, and they're lonely. They have a higher IQ, the deep capacity to care, great potential for the ethical path. They're aware of future moments, strongly independent, even if shy, and they have a nonlinear development.
Yeah.
So you want to know more about the new kids, read Children of the Fifth World.
Okay.
Where I talk about root races, that is to say, the basic characteristics of any given race, our bump up as our human race then expands. So I go into that in depth in that book, Children of the Fifth World. But with the Forever Angels, I'm looking specifically at those children who died or nearly died and then come back very different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at really children who do not fit in with the family. They don't fit in with the siblings. These are children that no more than the parents do, no more than the school teachers do. So what do they do? They are bullied a lot. They stand out a lot. they're very different in that regard. So I can give you all kinds of figures here if you want them. 90% of 397 people, that's the total in this research. So this is solid research. This is not fun stuff. This is solid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
90% of them do not bond with their parents.
Whoa.
That doesn't mean they don't love their parents.
Yeah.
It means they don't bond with them. They don't fit in with the family at all. 93% of them are drawn to and highly proficient in math, science, and history. Get that. These kids come back interested in the sciences, not ghosts and goblins.
Right, right.
Their mind is different than before. 68% enhancement of intellect. If you take those kids, birth to 15 years, and remember in the first study, I didn't get hardly any of the teens and tweens that participated at all.
Right.
So we're looking at 7 and under in that study. When they were old enough to finally take the IQ test, 48% were scoring between 150 to 160. That's almost half, way in the genius range. Now, if you looked at those, birth to 15 months, now look at that, birth to 15 months, who had a dark light experience instead of a bright light experience, when they were old enough to take the standard IQ test, were scoring 180 and above. So the younger the child, the greater the jump in intellect. Mm-hmm. And I see that again and again and again. In this study, you can see very clearly, especially those children who are having near-death experiences, birth, up to 6 months, a baby, a toddler, you can see very clearly that something is happening in the brain. What I'm seeing and saying, they're hit by the power punch of a near-death experience. Yes, I call it a power punch.
Yeah.
They're hit by this.
Yeah.
At the time when the basic flooring is being laid in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
For all of this stuff, I mean, for brain usage, the mind, the consciousness, your digestive system, your nervous system, skin sensitivity. So all of that is getting a big jump, a big bump, and these kids are coming back very different. They don't know how to handle it, however.
Yeah.
The average adult, we're talking near-death experience, adults and children, same experience, many times the same after effects. However, with children,
they don't have a foundation. They don't have a preset to return to.
There's no contrast.
Right.
There's no before.
Right.
So they're
fried.
They're still on the other side. They mm-hmm. are still in the world of light. They are still in that stream of consciousness. So how do they handle the earth world and the people in the earth world?
Okay, hang on, because this is where there's a little dark side with this, and we'll get into that. We're going to take a quick break. PMH Atwater is my guest, talking about children near-death experiencers. And there's a big difference, like she was saying. You come back, there's a clean slate that started with. So then they come back and they're upgraded and they've got all sorts of information. I think more compassion and more empathy. And that's a huge difference when you come back to this world where that's still a work in progress. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. My guest, PMH Atwater. And really, I have tremendous respect because you have been doing this for 40 years. Or more, I mean, just the whole nine yards of trying to figure out the pieces of the puzzle for for near-death experiencers, because when you come back with these extraordinary abilities and gifts that weren't there before, and all of a sudden it's here, front and center, and then other people are saying, well, what are you talking about? They don't have that same multidimensional concept or perception of their surroundings. And then that changes you. That changes the people you are around. And for other people who have these, you know, either a spiritually transformative event, a UFO, something that says, I am more than what I see in this physical vessel, and I experience it. That's dynamite, because then it opens you up to new potentials. And the thing about the kids who come back and they don't have any kind of frame of reference of what it was like, how they were grounded, what their community was, the rules, so to speak, until you branch out, then they've come back, and I think they would have more sensitivity and more awareness of the beauty of everything that's here and the wonders. And that it would be tough to reconcile if your community doesn't reflect that. Am I even getting close with that?
Well, you're getting close.
Okay. All right.
Look,
you take it.
Hear this. 74% were very successful in their career. 76% have very strong spiritual guidance and knowing.
Yeah.
Yet, 74% have suicide ideation. They're suicide prone. Look at that. It's just phenomenal.
Why?
And we've got to look even further.
Okay.
The average adult takes 7 to 10 years to integrate their experience. The average child takes 20 to 40 years.
Oh.
Adults can integrate. Children compensate.
Mm.
They really don't know what being a human is, and it's kind of stuff. They mimic a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
34% were positive about having their NDE. 61% were negative. Why this negative stuff? Why this huge, huge score in being suicide prone or suicide ideation? Okay, let's look at that. Let me give it to you very simply. For the average child, they're in this beautiful world with all the loving people, and they're not breathing.
Mm-hmm.
When they're breathing again, they're no longer in that beautiful world with the loving people.
Yeah.
So for a child, they're doing that, aha, aha! The way to get back there is to stop my breathing.
Yeah. Whoops.
Now you've got to look at kids.
Yes.
For a child, suicide is not negative. It's not bad. It's not horrible. There's nothing to it for them. They're looking at this as simply a way to get back there.
Mm.
They have no concept of hurting mom and dad. They have no concept of creating a problem in the family.
Or having a life plan.
It's a simple way to get back to where they were.
Mm-hmm.
So they look at that very, very differently. I have a whole chapter in the book on PTSD versus NDEs.
Yeah.
Because the commonalities are just incredible, but the difference is also incredible. For the child experiencer, for them, it's simply... You know, it's just simply part of the way of things. They're homesick for heaven.
Yeah.
That's it. They're homesick for heaven. It's not a grief thing. It's not an awful thing. It's simply they're homesick for heaven. And they're not really that cognizant of the impact of their actions. So we're looking at kids in a very, very different way.
So do you have the answer to help deal with this? Because this is crucial.
It's crucial. I cover this a lot in the book, The Forever Angels. I also cover it in the New Children and Near-Death Experiences. In the back of that book, there's a large resource section, and I give a lot of tips and ways of handling this that are very simple, that won't cost you anything or hardly anything, that any parent can do. So, lots of advice for parents in that particular book. In this in the Forever Angels and New Death Experiences, we're looking at the whole raft of consciousness. Where these kids are still in that stream, that incredible stream of consciousness. And their reality, you know, some of them get into reincarnation, most of them do not. Their idea is they're in this light stream, and it'll dip a little bit, that's alive, it comes back up, you continue your journey, take another little dip, that's another life, come back in. They just look at it as a little dips. The idea of a life is just a dip in that stream of consciousness. They look at it very differently than we do.
You have an example of that.
It's a whole different way of looking, and I'm saying as loudly as I can, we need medical researchers, we need scientific researchers here to look at the brain and what's happening in the brain and the nervous system and the digestive system in these cases of little ones, because it's different than with older children and adults, and we've got to look at that.
What you have here, there are some of the quotes that you give. Our stories belong to each other. That's one of the quotes. And you also give some examples, like one, a drawing of a child remembering a birth experience. And it's like, whoa, that's kind of right where it started. And there are some
others. Well, a lot of them are born with full memory.
Uh-huh.
They're born awake. So when they're looking at the doctor delivering them, they're completely awake. They know what's going on.
There's another
one. So they're critiquing the doctor.
Yeah, like, you could have done that better, dude. Hey. It's like, go back to school.
You know, if you want to really look at the summation of this book, and the research in this book has never been done before on planet Earth. This is new. We now have an opportunity to look at a person's entire life and see how this affects them in every single way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at a summary here of what this book is telling us, children tell us there is an ongoing stream of consciousness, that past, present, future are but one continuous reality, that time does not exist, and that consciousness itself moves from one dimension to another in a continuous and forever opportunity for all of us to be the forever angels we already are.
Excellent. Okay, now we have to leave. Okay, PMH Atwater, thank you. I appreciate what you're doing. I think this is a fantastic book, and I know you're not done because you have so much energy. That upload that you got, you're gonna. There's
and the new children's book. We've got to talk about those next time.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. So if you're wanting to get the book, The Forever Angels, Near-Death Experiences, it's in paperback. You can get it on PMH's.
You can get it anywhere.
Yeah, Amazon, PMH's website. But in the meantime, though, that the thing about...
Look, I produce a free monthly newsletter, so get on my website.
Get on the website.
And subscribe to that newsletter.
Okay. In the meantime, though, don't go anywhere. No dying in advance, okay? PMHatwater.hypermart.net, because there's a lot going on here.
My website, PMH, is www.pmhatwater.com.
Got it. See ya.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.